You're listening to Khan Podcasts.
Among the movements leading the protests against the government's judiciary overhaul is Achim LaNeshek, the Brothers in Arms Reservists Movement, which warns that if the government reforms are carried out, Israel will no longer be a democracy. Yiftach Golov, an activist in the movement, told us that there are parallels between the failings in the 1973 Yom Kippur War and the situation now, when the warnings from so many sectors were not heeded.
So as the people of the army, our fundamental agenda is solely the goods and prosperity of the state of Israel, democratic, liberal Israel. We talk about the sides. So just to point a little point, to point out, we are vigilant and we are deeply feared that Israel is heading for a catastrophe. It's not about sides. It's just about the truth. The similarity, the way we see it, the similarity between the Yom Kippur failure and the present failure is just astonishing. In both crises, back in 1973 in the Yom Kippur War and now in 2023, right, there were no sides. You can recognize, I would say, the similar common aspect, the alert of senior of governmental officials, senior intelligence officers, and nowadays the magnitude it's even higher. You can hear the shouts of senior officials in the field of economics, high tech, public health, jurists, major officers in the IDF. I mean, literally, it's not outside. It's about the fact that Israel is on the brink of an abyss. That's if I would give you an elaborate answer about your show question.
And yet, those who are in the government do not appear, at least from what we're seeing now, to be inclined to change the direction that they're heading.
We have a situation, it's a complicated situation here. The Israeli country, in one hand, is kind of being kidnapped right now because of different, I would say, a composition, a blend of different forces, if you would like. We are not in vacuum right now. You know, there's a global crisis going on in Mexico. In the United States, unfortunately, Israel, the process undergoing in Israel are not foreign in what's going on globally. But what I can tell you is that we as the association believe that as the people of the army, we saved the Israeli country, the Israeli state from the crisis back then, the Yom Kippur War, and we share the same responsibility nowadays in saving our homeland. It's quite astonishing that the threats are not external, it's from within, but we don't really care about what those who you just mentioned, the presence of parliament, the members. We understand that it's a complicated situation because, you know, we say Hebrew that they have climbed a very, very, very high tree. So I'm not going to, I don't know about the result. I just know that our only concern as the People's Army is the benefit and the good of Israel.
A few things happened last week. One of them, the increasing calls or declarations by reservists that they will not serve, they will not volunteer if this reform is passed. That's a difficult statement to make. And it also, when push comes to shove, how convinced or how does one feel at their core that that is actually what they would do, especially when many of these are people who have given and continue to give so much?
Okay, so this is a pivotal point, what you just mentioned. It's a great question. So first of all, I think that all of us, majorly, those who serve the country in the elite units, we refuse to call to any, what you call just sarvanut in Hebrew, yeah?
Refusal.
Yeah, of course, we are against any refusal. But we are walking right now on a very thin line. And if I may, I put it in the context of what you just mentioned. There is a written contract. It's a hidden contract between the IDF, the values of the IDF, and the Jewish country as a democratic liberal country. And it's all derived from the values embedded in the Declaration of Independence. I give you my point of view. So, of course, we are refusing any refusal, if I would say. Okay, that's a little statement. But I think that there are also great positive beneficial aspects from this crisis. If you want, I can give you my little point of view. Mm-hmm. So I would think that despite the harsh feelings and truly I believe that the internal crisis that's brought upon us by our own government, it is a great opportunity of growth. You know what they say, a horrible crisis is a great opportunity of growth. So first of all, the first thing you see in the protest that arise from the bottom, it's not being reflected, right, or associated with any political party, nothing. So first of all, I think, and I speak on behalf of the Brothers in Arms Association, it's a great opportunity right now, this crisis, to unify us. I see it every time in the protest. Many Israelis from right and left and central feel that the Zionist democratic values have returned to our flag. It's an amazing feeling. Another thing, and it's exactly, I would say, the vacuum you just mentioned, to reestablish the contract between the IDF soldiers, which are also known as the army's people, we have to establish a constitution, functional constitution, that will reflect and guarantee the future of Israel as a Jewish democratic liberal state. A constitution, I would say, that in the light of the Declaration of Independence.
And yet, do you feel that there's a partner for dialogue?
Well, tell you what, I think that the answer is complicated. I'm not running away from your question. First of all, I have to stay humble here. I'm not a politician. I don't think I have the values and nor the skills to give you an accurate answer. I think that one of the major or the main ends that that arise right now from this horrible crisis is that many of the chosen, democratically chosen people, members that's right now a part of this parliament, they don't believe in the Jewish democratic country. They actually neglected to the values of the IDF. So I don't know what to tell you, but there is a great future for Israel, but it's going to be a very, very tough road right now.
So going back to what you mentioned at the start, the importance or the parallel that you drew between the situation in 1973 mm-hmm. and now, the government is continuing to forge ahead with efforts to legislate this reform. So where does mm-hmm. that put the planned campaign and activities?
So I can give you only, of course, the general formal answer. I'm not going into details right now. But again, as the army's people, the brothers in arms, we will not stop until we make sure. Okay, and this is what the only thing I can say. We are not going to stop until we are going to assure that Israel will be forever a Zionist, Jewish, liberal, democratic country. I'm not going into details. But based on what you just mentioned, if I may, you know what? Because we already used this parallel between what happened in the crisis during the Yom Kippur War and today. So it's not only a situation, you know, from the inner process in Israel. It's only external. Israel, one of the major power of the Israeli country is, of course, that it's part of the democratic nations. I don't need to mention, right, our sacred alliance with the democratic, probably the most strongest nation on earth, which is the U.S., the American nation. So these guys that sit right now in the parliament playing, you know, the playing games with us, I'm not going to talk about them anymore, but we all know what the circumstances and the trajectories if they are not going to stop. So I'm quite sure that Israel is going towards a great future, but the road is going to be very, very, very slippery. I think that lastly, we're talking on the macro level all the time, and we talk about the crisis and the opportunity. So another really important point is that I would like to use the platform, our dialogue right now, broadcasting, to send a message to the, I'm not sure who's the prime minister right now. I'm cynical, of course, but I'm not sure if it's Yariv Levin or other ministers. But formally, it's Benjamin Netanyahu to stop this madness. To stop this madness, otherwise, his name will be mentioned in the very darker legacy of Jewish history as the leader who was responsible for the fall of the third Jewish house. I think Netanyahu knows that, but exactly on the same side, right? The same side of this equation, we should thank Levin and Rotman and all the other dark politicians, fundamentalistic people, for forming, initiating a reform. Not the reform that they are talking about, but the reform of unifying the Jewish country. They think this is one of the great, brightest outcomes of their activities. So it is an amazing reformer, but not exactly the reformer they aim towards.